Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner with the weekly Fred Report technical market call for July 22nd, 2010. We've got some interesting things going on here, so we'll get right into it. I think the first of the and most important thing is it still looks like the stock market is forming a bottom here. It looks like it could actually be forming a head and shoulders bottom here. The only problem with that interpretation is it's not a perfect head and shoulders, and it's actually sloping down a little bit to the right. Those can be a little less strong, but we'll take it for now. We do think that we're going to have a very strong close to the week. In fact, with the signal we have here, it looks to us like the market is going to close on its highs for the week. So if you're in any stocks and trying to trade or be speculative, you want to hold on through Friday and look for the market to be closing near the end of the week. There's a little bit of resistance on the spider at 110. That's the 1100 area on the S&P. Should we go through that 110, the next resistance is like 112.5, 113, and then I think 115, and then 117. So we like the looks of that, the market here in general, and we would stay with it. Looking, and we still think, by the way, it's possible we've made the lows for the year, and as I mentioned in one of my reports, one of the things that would get me thinking this is not the low of the year is if we make any lows for the year. But other than that, I think we can trade around here and sort of mess around. But I think this could be it for at least the next few weeks and possibly for the year. Looking at the bond market, we've seen the TLT rally back towards 102 and it's starting to fall off. Now, if the TLT breaks 98, it's probably on the way down. 98 has been support. Stochastics and such on the TLT are still up a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me to see the TLT spend a little bit more time up here before it started to get down. The other thing that I would mention is our idea of owning the LQD has worked out rather than the TLT, and we would still be positioning in bonds in the LQD, i.e. high-grade corporate bonds, rather than treasuries. And we think we have sort of a double-barreled advantage there. If corporate bonds fall, if treasury bonds fall, we think they'll fall less. And if treasury bonds rise, we think that corporate bonds can rise more to play catch-up. We do note that the high-grade bonds, which we mentioned back in the 86 area on the HYG, are now trading at 88. We still think that index can make it to 90, that ETF rather. Should that move above 90, you could get 92 to 94 on it. We like the looks of that overall. Looking at gold, we've been looking for gold to hold the 114 to 115 area. It's basically traded down into the 115 area, currently at 117.17. We don't really have enough to say that this is the absolute bottom, but if you want to go in and start to accumulate gold stocks, that's probably going to work okay. And we note that we have NEM, Newmont Mining, as one of our favorite stocks in our sector report, and that's one that I like the looks of and could buy right in here. In terms of the other commodities, I've been watching this DBC trade near 22, above it and below it for a while, but we're at 22.50, and now if this thing moves above 23, I think we're going to get a rally to 24.50 to 25 without too much trouble. That could be led by energy, and some of the energy names are looking pretty good. We've got some of those as well. The USO is trading above 35 and looks pretty decent. The natural gas ETF, UNG, has had a nice-looking short-term bottom on it after a pullback and looks like it's going to trade back up into the 8s. So we do like the petroleum complex here and think that that's going to work out okay. Looking at the currencies, the euro, the FXE, has traded back a little bit and held support in the 127 area. If we go through 130 on the euro on the FXE, it looks like 132 to 133, and that looks pretty decent. As far as foreign currencies go, though, the yen is still the biggest uptrend, and we like the looks of the Japanese yen ETF, which is FXY. Probably want to try to buy that on a retracement to 111 here rather than 113.50 where it is now. It's getting a little bit long in the tooth on the indicators, but it's still a great pattern. Looking at the dollar index has bounced a little bit off of 82, but we think the risk on the dollar index is that it turns around from 84 area, comes down, and tests 80. So I don't think we would be involved in that. But 82 was our short-term target on the downside. It's met that. But I guess the key thing here to remember is that with the currencies acting the way they're acting, the big European fears and the big Euro fears have pretty much gone out of the market. And don't forget, that was initially what caused the problems here that we had. So we're going to turn to some stocks here. I guess the first stock, one of the most aggressive stocks we've played on our list, is Panel, P-A-N-L. The stock has hit its short-term target at 1951. Real aggressive traders may just want to take the 2 points and leave. I've got the stock on the list to be removed at 22. We're going to try for that, and we may sell that depending on where we are, if we're up but not at 22 on the close on Friday. So stay tuned and keep your eyes on that. For now, though, we're looking for 22, and we're happy with the way the stock is trading. It's got decent support at 18. Looking at a couple of other names on our list, Chevron, CVX, beautiful little bottoming pattern on there. Trading at 73.75, our short-term target is like 74.50, 75. I think it's going to make it. In fact, the stock could make it to 76 by the end of the week. 76 to 78 is resistance, and then 80 to 84. We like this name in the oil patch, and we'd be playing it. Looking at United Technologies, it's hit its short-term target at 68.50. We're looking for 72 to 74 on that for a trade. A couple of people have pointed out that in the sector report, that shows up as a stock that we did not like, although we've got it on our trading list. The reason for that is sometimes when you look at indicator patterns versus relative strength, the ones that you don't like actually look like they're going to be better trades, and this is a trading list, not an investment list. We're going to have the sector stocks up as an investment list sometime in the next bit of time after I get back from Virginia. But for now, UTX, 72 to 74, and we were sort of a toss-up. We even said that in the commentary on the stock in the sector report. So let's stay with this one. Let's see how we do. Our one lemon on the trading list, which we're supposed to have at least one lemon, BB&T Bank. I'm amazed at how awful the banks look. We have a stop loss at 24 on BB&T. Frankly, that stock needs to get back above 27 pretty soon, or it's going to hit 24 and just not work. We do not like the banks here. We would be underweighting the financials. Looking at Bank of America, which is the other bank that we always get questions on, it's holding the 13.5 area support, but it really needs to get above 14.20 to look decent. And if this stock were to make it to 16 to 17 in a summer rally, we would probably recommend just getting rid of the stock. Not terribly attractive here, not as bad as some of them, but doesn't look really great. Citigroup, a lot of questions on Citigroup, 375 support, 450 target, not one of our favorite stocks longer term, but it is a long-term base. ExxonMobil, one of our favorite oil plays here, looks like it's made a little bit of a short-term base in the 56 to 60 area. If it can get through 64, it's going to work. And the reason this is in a stock that we like on our list is the natural gas exposure. Natural gas looks way up. This stock has got natural gas as opposed to, say, ConocoPhillips, which is a slightly better chart objectively. But if natural gas goes, we feel this one could slingshot to the upside. Looking at a couple of the oil service names, Halliburton got a nice base here starting 25 to 28 support, target of 34 or so, and obviously improved now that some of these oil fears are abating. Schlumberger is the same sort of pattern. I think it looks a little tiny bit worse than Halliburton. That's okay, but above 63, 67.50 on Schlumberger is possible. We get a lot of questions about IBM in the light of the earnings yesterday, day before, and we would point out one thing on IBM that I think everyone probably knows that we've mentioned before on the call, and that is that IBM is almost always down on the earnings. In fact, that's so widely known, you can't even make money buying puts before the earnings because they're priced in that the stock is going to go down. So 122 support on IBM basically is held. We think it can fill the gap at 130. We like technology. It's one of our favorite names, or favorite areas, rather, and IBM looks decent longer term. With that, that covers the stocks that we had on our list. We are in Virginia today, so bear with me, but we're going to have Jeff Garvaz come on the call now and ask some questions. And then for new people on the call, the way to ask a question is to hit star 6 and unmute yourself. So, Jeff?
Hey, Brett, how are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. I'm going to start, actually, usually we kind of start macro. I'm going to start on a micro level and be stock specific on a couple names. What are your thoughts on BP? It's had a really nice run up to this level, but now it's starting to roll over a little bit. Is that a concern to you at all?
Well, BP has got a big gap at 44 that it could theoretically fill. My concern with BP, Jeff, is that it's a news-oriented stock, and I can't see what the really good news is going to be after this oil business is done. I think there's going to be lawsuits and such. So I just would avoid BP and buy Halliburton or Schlumberger or something in the oil patch that has nothing to do with this oil spill. If oil works, BP will work, and so will they. You know, I hear all this stuff about how BP is undervalued, and that may be, but from a technical perspective, the stock's got a huge amount of resistance in the 40 to 44 area, and this is not the sort of thing I would play.
Great. One thing that you've done, I think, a pretty good job on is looking at the IWM, and we're right back at your favorite number, which is $63. Do we need to get above this number?
Yeah, the main resistance on this IWM is actually, Jeff, is 70, but if we can get above 63, I think we've got a chance of challenging 68 to 70, and really, let's say if we can get above 64.5, because that number sort of switched up. We are seeing a little bit more strength short-term in the blue chips, but longer-term, the sort of over-the-counter type stocks have come down much less, so it's sort of a tug-of-war as to which one's going to do better. I'm sort of out on a limb suggesting that as the economic numbers start to get a little bit better again, that the smaller stocks are going to do better, and I think they are.
Okay, thoughts on Apple after you've had a day and change to kind of evaluate how it reacted to, you know, good earnings numbers?
You know, the chart pattern has got a lot of support in the 240 to 243 area. The stock looks to me like a 240 to, say, 280 range for a while. It's basically a positive chart, and we like technology. And a very good friend of mine pointed out that one of the reasons people don't buy the iPhone essentially to make phone calls, they buy it to use the net, video, and all that sort of stuff. And they may be right about that. I confess that I don't understand some of those applications, but I love the iPhone in general. And I think this antenna thing will be behind them. So, you know, Apple basically looks fine to me. My only problem with Apple is it's so darn big now. I'm not so sure this is going to be a mega performer from here.
Got it. Next question for you is, we've been having a lot of either gap opens or gap downs that at the end of the day kind of reverse themselves. What do you make of that?
Well, I almost always like to see the market open down and sort of establish a low area for the day and then rally. That's positive. So the fact that we have been going up on kind of gap opens has been a bit of a concern here. Now, the last set of declines that we had, that big decline on Friday expiration, filled the big set of gaps that we had that everyone was worried about. And we are, you know, we're trading okay here, given the gaps and all that sort of stuff. You know, I don't like seeing the gaps, Jeff, and it's a concern, but I'm more interested in really seeing, you know, higher closes into the end of the week, I guess.
Okay. Kind of a follow-up question to that is, if we completely reversed and went to a lower level today, would that concern you?
It would concern me. If we were to do that, I would probably still stick with my Friday, we're going to close on the high of the week forecast. I have to because of the signal. But if we were to have a really bad day today, I would be liquidating anything that I wouldn't want to hold through a decline on Friday afternoon.
Great. That's a good, good response.
Yeah,
to
I
that
just
one.
Dump everything.
Okay. Next question for you is Japan. You talked a lot about Japan. Obviously, it's kind of having a nice little move here. And the yen has been very, very strong. So can you comment just on Japan in general and then also the yen?
Yeah. Well, looking at Japan, there's a lot of support on the EWJ in the 9 to 925 area, and that's holding. Looking at the smaller stocks in Japan, the JOF is the index that we use for that. It has broken down through the key support at 8, but it's basically at 794, and this could be a false breakdown here. And looking at the JOF, the stochastics are suggesting that you want to buy that here. Jeff, one of the reasons they're saying it's down is obviously that the yen is strong, and the yen still looks like it's going to be strong, but looking at my FXY, which is my proxy for the yen that everyone can look at, you're starting to see resistance in the 115 to 118 area hold that back, and if we can trade 111 to 115 for a while, I think the Japanese market will come back. If I were speculating in Asia, I would be looking still at EWM, which is Malaysia, and all it needs to do is get through the 12 area, and it could have a nice big push up. And it's like 1198 now, so we're very close. And EWS, which is Singapore, looks like that stock also is going to have a slingshot-type move up above 1225. It could have a really good move, and we would call that, of course, the Singapore sling, were that to occur. Sorry.
You've coined a new phrase now, Fred. Last question before we open it up. This morning, Bill Miller of Legg Mason came out and said that he thought that large cap stocks were at valuations, quote unquote, that you'll never see again. They're the buying opportunities of a lifetime. And when you then go and look at, you know, a lot of the charts in the S&P 100, I'll just give you a couple as an example. If you look at Exxon, and if you look at Microsoft, and if you look at Walmart, and if you look at GE, and we'll even throw J&J into that, they all have come down a lot since April. Do you think that we are at an opportunity where it's you want to favor large cap over small cap?
Jeff, that I still am looking at smaller cap leading, but I think that may start to go away. Traditionally, the smaller cap stocks lead for 2 years after a recession, basically. And we've got about, after the start of the recession, I should say the small caps lead, we've got about a half a year left in that. After really severe recessions like we had in 74, 75, that can be a 4 to 5 year move. And I will say that if the large caps go, I think the small caps will go too. So I'd probably want to keep a small cap position. That said, I'm certainly not adverse to buying large cap stocks here, especially if I turn out to be correct in forecasting this to be the low for the year. The problem is this, Jeff, when you look at the longer term patterns, small caps are lagging right now, but they did not break the February lows. Large caps are leading short term, but they did break the February lows. So they've actually been weaker longer term and are stronger shorter term to make up for that. The jury is out there, and honestly, I'm dying to see which comes out. It's very hard to pick that. But I do think if we're right here, we're going to see a good solid rally led mostly by technology and consumer discretionary. I think healthcare is going to lag, and financials are definitely going to lag. And the other thing, by the way, we did get favorable readings on the utility sector over my last couple of weeks looking at utilities. So for me, the only other sector I would probably be overweighting here, I'm not overweight in the report, but I'd be adding to here, is some of the utility stocks, and I noticed they're trading up today pretty good.
Great. Part of what Miller was alluding to was the dollar, and clearly the dollar had a great rally from the November kind of beginning of December low up until we hit the high in June, and that's when a lot of damage has been done to these large cap stocks. Now that the dollar has come down, as you've said, kind of like the easy money has been made in the dollar trade to the downside. could you see like the DEXY getting down into 75 or so? And if that happened, would that really help the large cap stocks get going, a weak dollar?
I know people are going to yell at me for this, but I don't see any correlation at all between the dollar and the stock market in general. I'm concerned that the dollar is going to move back to 80, let's say, and I really think where you're going to see the interesting action here is, and I'm still sticking with this, speculative foreign money that would normally go into Europe and some of the smaller European indexes because of currency fears are going to come into the United States. I do think that the U.S. market is going to benefit from some capital inflows. Frankly, I don't think Bill Miller is right. I think that the small cap stocks are going to do much better, and the large cap are going to lag them.
Excellent. Good analysis. At this point, I think what we'd like to do is open up a call to any questions. So remember just to hit star 6 to unmute yourself. Any questions for Fred?
Hey, Fred, what do you think about REM?
You know, that stock has just been, it's still a downtrend versus the technology ETFs and versus some of the other technology stocks. But that said, it looks like the stock can rally to 60, fill that gap there, and if it does that, Jeff, I'd consider moving into another technology stock, to be honest with you.
More questions for Fred?
How about AGAM?
AGAM, let's have a look. That is making a very nice base between 12 and, say, 1350, 1360. If that can get above 1360, it looks like 1440 and then 1520. This actually looks okay. The only thing I'm not real bullish on here is healthcare. And, you know, Jeff, when you're looking at some charts back in your office, you know, the best-looking healthcare stock I've been able to find is EW. And it's making new highs today. Okay, but if you look at the chart pattern on that, there's absolutely, unless you were a real fundamental believer and close your eyes, there's no way you'd be in for that move if you bought it, back in June. It's gapped down, it's gapped up, it's all over the place. Yesterday it was making new lows for the move and looked terrible. Today it's gapped up through the lows of yesterday. I every time I see these healthcare stocks, I keep thinking that they're not going to work, and that may be just prejudice on my part, but I just can't play these.
Brother, what do you think of Netflix?
Netflix. Have not been really pleased with the stock, but it's got 106 support. I know it had earnings today, and the earnings were good. Actually, holding 106 like it's doing, the stock is probably a buy for the 115 to 119 area. But, you know, this may go into a wide swinging base between, say, 106 and 125 for a while. Probably a good trader.
Hey, Fred, this time I got three of them for you. How about Mosaic, MOS, Lin Energy, LINE, and Ford?
Okay. MOS needs to get above 48, but it's broken its downtrend and is trading pretty good, and that's one reason why we have CF on our list, which I think looks better. But one reason why I think we're going to have a commodity rally is that these stocks are starting to act better.
LINE, Fred.
LINE, okay, because actually that LINC is interesting. LINE. Lin Energy, okay. It's a very strong short-term and intermediate-term chart. Is this an MLP or is it just an energy company? I've never seen this
MLP.
One. Yeah. These MLPs all look good. I have a number of advisors that are playing those, and this looks fine. Ford needs to get above 12 to me, and it certainly is trying it. You know, Tom, if you look at a lot of these, what you're seeing is short-term head and shoulders bottoms. The recent trading back to, say, the 12th of July on this is a right shoulder, and then you've got the head on that dip down that we had in early July, and then a left shoulder. Through 12, Ford looks like 1380 is possible, and it's trading pretty decent.
Okay, thanks.
other questions, and I know it takes a little bit of time for you new guys to hit star six. I had some people complain that they actually couldn't get on. So take your time, and let's see if there are any more questions.
Hey, Fred, I'll ask you one in between. Thoughts on eBay, which, you know, came in with slightly better earnings, and it's another stock that's been really hit hard.
You know, again, it's trying to make a base. It's a very slight downtrend. It looks like the stock can make it to 23, and then we have to see, but it looks okay.
Fred, thoughts on LINTA?
LINTA.
Liberty Media?
Yeah. LINTA. Let's have a quick look at that. Again, a downtrend with resistance at 12, but it looks like it's definitely going to hit the 12. We got to see if it goes through. If it does go through there, it's probably recovered and could hit 1350, 1360. This one needs a little bit of work, frankly.
More questions for Fred?
Garmin, GRMN.
GRMN. The same thing. Broke down, holding, secondary support, needs to get back above 3150. I think it's going to get to 3150. The question is, can it go through? If it does, I think you'll get it to 34.5. Any other ones, guys?
Fred, I'll ask you one last one before we go. It's kind of two stocks, but they're very, very much the same. Bank America and J.P. Morgan in the financial space. They've been kind of weak here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Bank of America basically has got support in the 1380 area. It violated it a couple of times, but we're basically trading above it. I need to see the stock above 1450 to be happy, and then above 1520. You know, long term, it looks a little bit icky, but I think it's going to hold this area. I just don't think it's going to do much on the upside. None of these banks look particularly like they're going to. JP Morgan, I'm on the fence. Frankly, I wish I'd put JP Morgan in the likes on the sector list and Bank of America in the dislikes, but at the time they both looked about the same. JP Morgan looks a little bit better, but it's got to get above 42 to be really impressive, and I'm not sure it's going to do that.
Great. That's it for me, so probably we should, I guess, wrap up now?
Yeah, I'll wrap up. Going, any more questions before we go? Okay. Guys, this will essentially end the Fred Report technical market call for July 22nd, 2010. Enjoy the rest of the week. I think the market's going to do well going into the end of the week. And we'll talk to everybody on next Thursday. Reports and everything will be coming out as normal, even though I'm traveling. I'll just be a little bit harder to reach on the phone for any hedge fund guys that are on. Talk to you soon.